Today's shiur is Masechta Sukkah, Daf Mem Hei, and we will begin on Daf Mem Hei Amar Aleph at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Mitzvah Sarava Ketzad. As we've been learning in the Beis HaMikdash, there was a procedure every day where they took the Aravis and put them around the Mizbeach. We'll discuss more of the details soon. And the Mishnah begins to detail from the beginning of this process exactly how this was done. Makam Hayu L'matam Yerushalayim, there was a place right below Yerushalayim, V'nikra Moitza. That place was called Moitza. Yordan L'sham, they used to go there. U'malaktam L'sham Murbi Yishal Arava, they would collect from their stalks of Arava. U'boyin V'zaytun Aysoy V'tzideh HaMizbeach, they used to put them leaning on the Mizbeach. The Gemara will describe this a little more. For a shame, kfufim al gabim mizbeach, and actually the tips of the aravos bent over the mizbeach. And as Tosfos tells us in the previous dafim, we've learned there's a machlokes exactly what was done. Either one man d'amar says that they went around the mizbeach with the aravos, and after they finished going around the mizbeach with the aravos, they placed them on the mizbeach. Or another sheet is that they put the aravos on next to the mizbeach, and then they circle the mizbeach with the dalad minim. There's also a discussion, the Me'ad of Mizmanim discusses this, exactly what was done with the aravos after this procedure was accomplished. There's some Rishonim, he says, who hold that the aravos became kodesh, and there would be mila behegdish if they were used afterwards. The other Rishonim say that on the contrary, after the mitzvah was done, they could take him. Some say they were taken for a shmirah, that the leaves of the aravos used to be taken as a shmirah by people who used to hold them. Also, the Me'ad HaMizmanim says that so many aravos were brought, it wasn't enough to just have it around the mizbeach. It also encircled the keves, the ramp leading up to the mizbeach, was encircled with aravos. Continues the Mishnah, Taku v'ri v'taku. Then they blew the shofar, a tekiah through a tekiah. Here too there's a machlokes rishonim, which is relevant la'aloch l'maisa, why? Some rishonim said they blew the tekiah through a tekiah, that everyone should be aware that now they were doing this procedure of the aravos. Tosfos says the reason was mishum simcha, to show simcha that they blew. And that, according to the Paiskim, is the reason why the minig is that avelim rachmano l'tzlan don't go around hakofis on a shanis. Because we see now that the avoider of the arava represents simcha, so somebody's rachman tzlan and avil should not participate in something that represents simcha. Says the Mishnah, b'chol yoyim makifin es mizbeach pamachas. Every day they would go around the mizbeach once. V'amrim ona Hashem hashiyano, ona Hashem atzlichano. Rabbi Yehuda omer aniva hoy hashiyano. They would say aniva hoy hashiyano. What is aniva hoy? So Rashi says, Aniva Hoy is actually the same gematria as Ono Hashem, but Aniva Hoy, says Rashi, and Tosfos says the same, represents the Shem Hashem. And he explains, there are three consecutive psukim in Parashas Bishalach that each have 72 letters. The first pasuk is Vayisa, the next pasuk is Vayova Be'machna, and the third pasuk is Vayet Moshe. So he says, if we take the first letter of the first pasuk, the last letter of the second pasuk, and the first letter of the third pasuk, we have Vahoy. And then if we take the 37th letter of the first pasuk, the 37th letter of the second pasuk, and the 37th letter of the third pasuk, we have Ani. And that is Hashem Hashem. It's hard for us to understand and explain. Explains exactly what this Shem Hashem represents. And they said, Ani Vahoy. Tosfos has another pshat. Tosfos says, there are two psukim in Navi. There's a pasuk in Yecheskel that says, V'ani b'soich ha'goyla. Kaviyoch la'Kadosh Baruch Hu is with us in Golis. And then there's a pasuk in Yirmiyah, V'hu osur b'zikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is confined in chains. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also with us in Golis. Ani Vahu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu and us, Hoshiyana, should be saved from this Golis. But as Ramosha says, there's a very big nafkamina la'alocha, which pshat you follow. If you say Rashi's pshat, that it's the Shem Hashem, you should pronounce it Ani Vahoy. If you pronounce it based on the Pasuk says Vahu. So you should pronounce it Ani Vahu. So Moshe quotes in the Tshuvas a Chacham Tzvi, who says that as a young child he listened to the way his father, the Yavit, said it, and he heard his father saying Ani Vahoy, which is the minig that most people have, that they say Ani Vahoy Hashiyana. The Sfas Emes says, which is not the minig in most places, that not only should you say Ani Vahoy Hashiyana, you should also say Ani Vahoy Hatzlichana. So every day they said it, they went around the Mizbeach once. On a Shana Rabbah, they went around 7 times. The Mefarshim explained what does 7 times represent. It represents that when Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, the first city they captured was Yericho. And we remember from Nach that on the first 6 days they encircled Yericho once. And on the 7th day, they encircled Yericho 7 times and then the wall fell. And that 7th day was Shabbos. And as we learned in the previous sugyas, midin the Mishnah, not nowadays, to Shana Rabbah, even if it's on Shabbos, we do that kafis seven times. So to show that connection, that we go around 7 times, even Shabbos, just like they did by Yericho. Another pshat that I saw the Aruch Lener explains, is that the Gemara Masechta Megillah says, that on a nes that happened in Eretz Yisrael, we say whole Hallel. Yericho was the first nes that happened in Eretz Yisrael. Sukkos is a yontif that we say whole Hallel every day. So you want to show the connection between Eretz Yisrael and Sukkos. So that's why we do something like what happened in Yericho was which in Eretz Yisrael. B'shas p'tirason, as they take leave, Mayan Oimrim, Yoifiloch Mizbeach, Yoifiloch Mizbeach. There's a very interesting machloikis. Everybody thinks it's machloikis between Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Sfard. It's really a machloikis between the Torah and Rav Sadia Goyim. When one should say Hoshanis? Do we say Hoshanis after Hallel? Do we say Hoshanis after Musaf? Actually, the Pais can bring a raya from this Mishnah that it said after Musaf, because it seems to say that after they did the Avoida of Hoshanis, Pitirosim, they would leave. So it seems that that was the last Avoida, which was after Musaf. And why did they praise the Mizbeach? The Aruch Haner explains, so much of Sukkos is involved with the Mizbeach. They brought 70 Kabbonis on Sukkos, they did the Nisach HaMayim on Sukkos, they did the Aravis on Sukkos. So since the Sukkos has such a connection to the Mizbeach, we speak about the Mizbeach. Yoifu l'cha Mizbeach, Yoifu l'cha Mizbeach. Rabbi Lazar, l'cha Mizbeach, l'cha Mizbeach. Now we'll discuss this in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, k'masei b'chol, whether Hoshana Rabbah came out on a weekday, Kach Masei B'Shabbos, the same thing was done in Shabbos. Shalom Lak Masoim Erev, if it happened on Shabbos, you're not allowed to cut the Arabas on Shabbos. So they would cut them from Erev Shabbos. U'menich Noisa B'Gigio Shalzov, they would leave them in gold barrels, Kadesh Shalayuch Meshu, so they shouldn't wither. And from here, the Paiskim, Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein says, from here we see this is the makar for using a silver esrog box. Just like they put the Arabas in a gold chest, so too the esrog should be put, it's a hidden mitzvah to put the esrog in a silver esrog box. The Aruch Haner discusses what would be if the yontif, the first day of Sukkos is a yontif, and they also went around with the aravis. Were the aravis that were used on the first day yontif also cut before yontif, or they were cut on yontif themselves? Because Amish only discusses what happened if it's Shabbos. So he says it's actually Machloikis, the Ravid and the Rambam. He says the Ravid holds that they were cut Erev Yontif, and the reason the Mishnah doesn't mention it, because it's obvious whatever was done when for Shabbos is also done for Yontif. He says, however, according to the Rambam, since it's Yontif, and Yontif will allow to do Malachas Loichel Nefesh, this too, according to the Rambam, says the Aruch Haner, is under that category. So on Yontif, they didn't cut Darovas before Yontif, they cut them on Yontif itself. Rabbi Yochim and Breika, Oy Mechurya Shaldekel Haimavian, they would bring lulav branches, V'choif Noise Bekarka, V'tzidei Mizbeach. So Mechloikus Rashi in Ritva, what is V'choif Noise Bekarka? According to Rashi, means V'choif Noise, they would just place them on the sides of the Mizbeach. According to Ritva, they used to clap them on the floor. V'ois Ayoim, Nikra, Chibet Charoyes. So according to Rabbi Yochanan Breker, they brought lulav branches. As we'll see in the Gemara, there are really two questions. What is Rabbi Yochanan Breika saying? Is he saying that in addition to the Arovas, they brought lula branches? Or is he saying instead of the Arova, they brought lula branches? And also the Shaila is, when Rabbi Yochanan Breika says they brought lula branches, is he only referring to Hoshana Rabbah? Or is he referring to every other day of Yontif? Miyad, immediately after this, tonight kishayntum slulaveim v'ichlan esrugeim. So there's two pshatim in this line. Rashi explains, immediately after this happened, the adults would grab the esrogim of the children and eat them. And as Tosfos explains that pshat in Rashi, it's, even though there's a question of gezeila, that you're taking away the children's esrogim, where something is the minig, where that's always what's done, there's not considered gezeila. And Tosfos in fact quotes, he says there used to be a minig, that when Bokhrim used to come to weddings, they used to come ride on a horse into the wedding hall, and they would do damage, but they weren't responsible for the damage, because that was the minig. And the Rama says, wherever there's a minig to do something, there's no damages. He talks about Purim, if somebody shikr and does damage. However, the Paiskim say it has to really be a minig. It can't be your own minig. It has to be a minig of Klal Yisrael. And he also says it only can be minor damage, not serious damage. In fact, I just saw the Chassam Sofer had a son, Rav Shimon Sofer, who wrote a sefer, Shal Tshuvas Michtav Sofer. And I saw written about him that he was the Rav of the city, and in the city they used to appoint a Purim Rav, a Purim, and this Rav embarrassed him so that after Purim he died from embarrassment. What could happen from innocent embarrassment? Another pshat that Taifa says is not that the adults took the esrogim of the children themselves ate the esrogim, their own esrogim, after the avoid of Hoshana Rabbah. But Rashi, we'll learn in Daf Mem Vav, Amud Beis, prefers the first pshat, because Rashi quotes an interesting medrash. He says, there was an interesting story, there was once a husband, a man, who gave money, all his money away to tzedakah. He was a poor person, and the few dollars he had, he gave away to tzedakah. Then he realized, there's no point in going home, because his wife will be very upset. So it was after the avoid of Hoshana Rabbah, so he followed what the Mishnah says. He grabbed the esrogim from the children. And since he didn't go home, he went traveling. And he came to a certain country that there was a member of the king's family who was not well. And the doctor said that what could cure this person is esrogim. And he happened to have esrogim that he took from the children. So he gave this person the esrogim, and the person was cured. And the king gave him a lot of money as a reward, as a thank you. And he came home a wealthy man. So it's pshat we see that, like Rashi says, that they took the esrogim from the ketanim. Says the Gemara, Tana. We learned in the Mishnah that the aravos were taken from a place called Moitza. Mokim klan yahava. It was a place that was duty-free, tax-exempt. V'tana didom mai tamik karale Moitza. Why is it called Moitza? Aida demapik mekag demalka. Because it was tax-exempt, karale Moitza. Moitza means exempt. It was exempt from paying taxes. And the Rishonim explain, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, a rava, you can't use gezula, something that's stolen. So they specifically designated an area which was wild, which was hefker, that they should take that rava from there, that nobody should chas v'shalom end up with a rava gezula. We learned with Boyin of Zaknes of Tzidim Mizbeach, it was put on the Mizbeach. Tana, we learned in a braisa, rabbis v'aruchais, they were many aravos, tall 11 amos, k'day she'egoiches al mizbeach amo. They were that tall that they should bend over the mizbeach and amo, which we'll explain in a moment. There is a girsa that says instead of rabbis, we should say rakois. They were moist. And the Mishnah Berurah, in fact, paskins that the aravos should be moist. Aruchais u'gvois, so the Sfas Emes asks, isn't that the same? They were tall. Why do we have to say both aruchais u'gvois? So the Sfas Emes answers that it's teaching us that that you're supposed to have aravos that are 11 amos tall. But let's say you can't get 11 amos aravos, it's 22 feet. So you should get aravos that are as tall as possible. Another pshat that I saw is aruchais u'gvois. Aruchais refers to the stem. You should get a long stem. The u'gvois, long leaves. That's what makes an aravos nice. And actually, the Chaya Adam says la halacha that the aravos that are caught for a Shana Rabbah, you should be careful not to cut off the bottom, because our Gemara is saying the longer the better. So sometimes people cut off the bottom to make, because the bottom isn't so nice, or to make all five aravos and the Shana the same size. He says you should leave them long. So the Gemara explains now why we needed them to be 11 amas tall. But before we do the Gemara inside, we'll just give a quick Rashi. It's pretty lengthy here in explaining how the Mizbeach was built. He says the Mizbeach was built the following way. They took a platform, which was 32 amma by 32 amma by 1 amma high. That was the first platform. Then they took another platform, which was 30 by 30, 5 ammas tall. So if you put a platform that's 30 by 30 in the middle of a platform that's 32, that means you'll have an amma indentation. Then they took another platform, which was 3 ammas tall by 28 by 28. So again, you have another indentation of an amma. And then you had four corners around the Mizbeach, each one being an amma tall. So you have 1 plus 5 plus 3 plus 1 equal 10. That's the 10 ammas of the Mizbeach. What were the point of these indentations? The bottom indentation was the Yesod, the foundation of the Mizbeach, where we learned many times the leftover dam, Shiori Hadam, we say it in Kabbonis, HaYeshoifech al-Yesod, they used to pour on the foundation. And the other indentation was the ledge on which the Kohen used to walk when he did the Avoida on the Mizbeach. Says the Gemara, that where did they put these Aravos? They were 11 amas tall. They said they didn't put them on the floor, but they put them on the foundation. Why? Because if you would put them on the floor, so we have 9 amas, and it's more than 9 amas, because you have to take into consideration the protrusions. So we learned that it has to go over the Mizbeach. It wouldn't be tall enough if they were only 11 amas. That's why it was put on the Yesod. So if it was put on the foundation, even if they're 11 amas, they will go entirely above the Mizbeach. Other Rishonim learned that not only did it have to cover the Mizbeach, it had to cover the corners, the kronos. And I'll even bring you a Ryan, the Gemara, to that Shita. So says the Gemara, Amar Mirem Meshum Azatra. Shmamina al Yesod Manachlu. The Aravos were put on the foundation. If you can say they were put on the ground next to Mizbeach, Michti. Let's analyze how the Mizbeach was built, as we just did. Ola Amma, we have an Amma high, the Konas Amma, then we have an indentation of an Amma, Zay Yesod. Then Ola Chomish, then another 5 Ammas height, the Konas Amma, an indentation of an Amma, Zay Yesod. That's the ledge on which the Kehanim walked. Ola Sholosh, then we have another 3 Ammas height, Zemach and Kronos, and then we have the corners. Goiches al Mizbeach Hech Mishkachslo. How is it possible that the Aravos should bend over the Mizbeach? Alav, Shmamino, Yisoy Vanachlo. The only way it's possible if they were placed on the foundation, Shmamino. Amar Rav Avuha Maikra. Where do we see this in the Pasuk, that this is the way the Aravos were placed? Shnemar, as the Pasuk says in Hallel, Isru Chag Ba'avoysim. We should encircle, Isru means to encircle the Mizbeach, ad kanis Mizbeach. It goes above the Mizbeach, and actually it says above the kronos. So that's why we have to have these tall aravos. Amr Avavu, Amr Beleza. Kol anoita lulav b'igudai. Whoever takes a bound together lulav, v'adas b'avosai, and a nice hadas that has the right amount of leaves, malo of a kosov, it's considered kilabonim Mizbeach, as if he built a Mizbeach, v'hikar of love carbon, and he brought under the carbon. Shnemar, as the Pasuk says, Isru chag, Ba'avoysim, Isru means to tie together. If in Yontav you tie together the Dalaminim, Ba'avoysim, with nice Hadassim, it's at Karnas Mizbeach, it's as if you built a Mizbeach. So the Kabbas Tamarim explains, why do we dafka speak about tying together the Lulav and nice Hadassim? So he says a very nice Pshat. We learned that tying together the Lulav is a Machloikis, the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda, if it's required. The Rabbanan hold it's not required. Why do we do it? Hidur mitzvah. So says the Gemara. The same thing we learned by Hadassim. We learned that halacha, Hadass ha-niktam, Hadass at the top that's cut off, is kosher. Says the Gemara. If somebody goes and ties together the lulav, even though you don't have to, if somebody goes and takes a Hadass which is not niktam, so he's careful to be mahadir, to make the mitzvah beautiful, kilubonim mizbeach. That person is like he built a mizbeach. That's one pshat. Another pshat that the Inyan Yaakov says is that we know that the lulav represents, the dalamina represents all four types of Jews. Esrig is yesh b'tam, yesh b'reach, means somebody has Torah, Masim, Toivim, all the different types of Jews. Kala noita lulav b'igudoy. If somebody takes all four types of Jews together, if there's achtus, if there's unity in Klal Yisrael, kilubanim mizbeach. That's the way the mizbeach will be rebuilt. That's the way Mashiach will come. Rav Yirmi Mishim Rav Shim Ben Yechoy, Rav Yochanan Mishim Rav Shim Ben Amechuzi, Mishim Rav Yochanan Amechusi. Kala ois is lechag bechila v'shtiyah. We'll explain this in a minute. Malal of Hakasav, the Torah considers it kilubanim mizbeach, vikra lo korban. Shinam is lechag b'avoisim at karnas mizbeach. So Rashi says two pshatim in this Gemara. The first pshat he says is, Kala ois is lechag, somebody who ties himself to Yontif. Bachila v'shtiyah. On Yontif we have to eat and drink. And somebody eats and drinks on Yontif, Kadosh Baruch Hu considers it like he built a mizbeach. But the Mefarshim explain, what's the Lashon Isser? So one pshat I saw in the Ben Yoyada, Isser, we learned early in the Masechta, is Mishabeach Anias Atzlonim. On Yontif he's supposed to be home. Kala ois Isser l'chag, whoever ties himself to his home on Yontif, that's the right thing to do. Another pshat is, Masha says this pshat, Kala ois Isra l'chag, you're supposed to eat, but you're not supposed to overeat. Kala ois Isra l'chag, b'chila v'shtiyah, he knows how not to overindulge, that's important. And the third pshat is, that when he eats l'shem shemayim. But then Rashi has a second approach. He says this, the second approach is that it's referring to Isra l'chag. Kala ois Isra l'chag, whoever connects himself to the yontif, the day after Yontif, Isru Chag, he celebrates as a Yontif, Malo of Akosav Kilubona Mizbeach. Why? So the Yerushalmi says that Isru Chag is called Ben HaMoyed, the son of the Moyed. It's a connection to the Yontif. In fact, the Arizal has a beautiful pshat. He says, what does the Pasuk say in Hallel? Kel Hashem V'yor Lonu, Isru Chag Bavoisim at Karnas Mizbeach. Kel Hashem V'yor Lonu. If we want to hold on to the Ha'oris, if we want to hold on to the Hashpah of Yontif, Isru Chag B'Avoyisim HaKarnas Mizbeach. How do we show that? By holding on to the Isru Chag. And the Gra says that with a mashal. He says, you can have a guest. Sometimes you have a guest, you don't really want the guest, but you have him. And sometimes you have a guest that you really want. How could you tell the difference between the two guests? Everybody's a nice host. He says that when it comes to leave, if it's a guest that you really wanted, you don't want him to leave, you're upset when he leaves, and it's a guest that you really don't want, you're happy to see him go. How do we know if we really want the Yontif? If on Isru Chag, we show that it's still Yontif, we don't want to leave the Yontif. Kala ois Isru Lechag, he ties himself to the Yontif, that shows that he really appreciates and is machshiv the Yontif. Tver Shloime says, we say in the Tefillah on Yom Tov, Vasienu Hashem Elokeinu. Vasienu, he says, is Loshin Nesuin, marriage. Vasienu Hashem Elokeinu, Espirkas Miyodecha. We want to be connected like a husband and a wife to the Yom Tov. We want to take the Birkas Miyodecha, we want to take the Bracha of Yom Tov with us for the whole year. And in fact, there's Machloikas in the Paiskim, certainly on Isru Chag we don't say Tachnun, on Isru Chag we should treat it like a yontif, as we're learning, to the degree that the machlek of Pais can feel out of work on Isru Chag. The Michas Alazar explains, he says it's very interesting. He says, Shabbos, when do we make Amlav Malka for Shabbos? A Matzoi Shabbos. When do we treat Isru Chag special? The day after yontif. Why do we make Amlav Malka Matzoi yontif? He says, because there's man Shabbos Midish Kayim. What showed Yontif being special? The Kabbonis. Kabbonis are only brought by day. So we celebrate Isru Chag by day. Amr Chizkiya, Amr Rav Yimri, Mishim Rav Shim Ben Yechoy. Kol HaMitzvos Kulam, Ein Adam Yotzmem El Eterech Kedilosam. When you use something for mitzvah, you have to use it the way it grows from the ground. Shnemar Atzei Shittim Oimdim. Just like the Atzei Shittim that were used for the Mishkan were used the way they grew. The way they grow. And that's the halacha, that all mitzvahs we should use the way it grows. Just to mention a few halacha lemaisis based on this. One is the shibolei aleket. The Torah quotes a shibolei aleket, that if you have wood planks for the walls of your sukkah, you should use the wood planks the way they grow from the ground. The Bach asks, you don't have to use wood for walls for sukkah. So why do you have to use it the way it grows from the ground? He says, Yitaka, don't have to use wood for the walls. But if you're using wood, it has to be the way it grows. The schach, they ask. So what about the schach? So there's two answers. There's no way you can put the schach standing. And the other answer is schach sometimes grows flat. The branches go out. Another question the Magen Avraham discusses is the esrig. We know that the esrig we have to take with the pitim up. But interestingly, if you look at an esrig tree, usually the pitim is on the bottom. So I was saying derech gedilosin. So the Bikur Yaakov explains an esrig, when it starts to grow, it grows with the pitim up. Just when it gets heavier, it turns over upside down. That's why you're supposed to take with the pitim up, derech gedilosin. The other question, which is an interesting shayla, is when we do the nanuim, and we shake the lulav in all the directions, how should you hold the lulav? Should you hold the lulav facing up? So actually, the Daki Moshe, the Ramah, brings down two shitas. The Gra held, you should have the lulav facing the direction you're shaking. So in all the other directions, when you're facing it, when you're shaking it up, it's no problem. In all the other directions, he explains, as long as it's not facing downwards, it's not a problem with Derech Dilosun. But what about when you face it downwards? So we just said Derech Dilosun. So the Gra explains, since you did the other motions facing upwards, even if you do the last motion facing downwards, it's not a problem with Derech Gedilosin. But the second day, the Ramah says, is you should always keep the lulav facing up, which is actually the Chassidus Shemini. There's a very beautiful vart. On Atzei Shittim, we know who planted Atzei Shittim for the Mishkan, Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu planted, before Klai Yisrael went to Mitzrayim, he planted those Atzei Shittim for the Mishkan. Kol HaMitzvos Kulan. If you want your future generations to follow the mitzvahs, derech gedilosin, they should follow the derachim of your forefathers. Just like Yaakov Avinu planted Atzei Shittim, and those plants that he planted, Klai Yisrael followed, and that's how they were mekayim the mitzvahs, so too, you, if you want Messiah, if you want Torah to stay in your family, follow the Messiah of your previous generations. That we know the krushim, the beams around the Mishkan, were gold plated. There are two ways of plating them. One is by just putting a gold plate next to the wood. Another way is by knocking them in with nails. So shemamidim et zipuyon, you had to put on a plating that would stick to the wood. Davar acher, oimdim, they should remain standing. Shema Taimer Ovid Sivram or Batal Sikuyan, we no longer have a Mishkan. So the wood is all gone. Tamaloyma Atzei Shaitim Oimdim, Sha'oimdim L'Oilam Olamim. The Mishkan stands forever. And what it did for Klal Yisrael stands forever. Even though we don't see the Mishkan, and we don't see the Kalim of the Mishkan, it stands forever. The Mefarshim explain that the Rav Tzadok HaKohen explains this way, that the Krushim represent the people in Klal Yisrael who don't learn themselves. They're just the support of Klal Yisrael. But even they, people who support the Mishkan, who support places of learning, their schus remains forever. The Mefarshim also say, why is this said strictly on the Mishkan? I think I said this far at once. Why doesn't it say that the Beis HaMikdash stands forever? Because the Mishkan was built only by Jews. The Beis HaMikdash, we know that Shlomo HaMelech brought Goyim to help him. Something that was built only with Jewish hands, that has a tzchus kiyim l'olam olamim. V'am echizki amar b'yimim shimim shimim yichay. Yochal ani lifters kol ha'olam kulon adin. I could absolve the entire world from any bad judgment. Yom shenavresi ad ata. From the day I was created until today. V'malei Eliezer b'ni imi, if we'll combine my son Eliezer with me, v'yoyim sh'niver v'oylem v'achshav, from when the world was created until now. V'malei Yoisim ben Yizoyim manu, and we take Yoisim, who was a king, we'll explain about him in a moment, v'yoyim sh'niver v'oylem v'atsoifay. So Pashup Shat, the Gemara is saying, is that these people had great schusim, and their schusim could protect Klal Yisrael. But another Pshat is that these people were people who suffered in this world. And they said, because of their suffering, we know Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai and his son Elazar were in a cave for 13 years. Their suffering could be mechaper all of Klal Yisrael. But the Masham says, very powerful word, he says what he could accomplish is that Klal Yisrael shouldn't suffer, but it can't take Klal Yisrael into Olam Haba. Olam Haba you have to earn on your own. You have to do learn Torah, you have to do mitzvahs, and you can earn Olam Haba. I saw two pshatim, a pidrush, very nice pshatim. One is from the Klozmer Rebbe. We know that the Klozmer Rebbe says, he says it because he says, we always see people traveling to Miron. From all the places in Yisrael, Kever of Shimon ben Yochai, we know Lag B'Omer, it's a tremendous place of attraction for all sorts of Jews. Why? He says, Rav Shimon ben Yochai is the mandama, we have him throughout Masechta Shabbos, and other places also, that holds Dovah Shei Miskavin, if you didn't intend to do something, is potter. Says Rav Shimon ben Yochai, Yochal ani lifters kol oilem and adin. Al pidin, through the halacha, I could say that everybody's potter. Because when a Jew does an Aveira, he doesn't intend to do an Aveira, it's a Dovah Shein Miskavin. So because it's a Dovah Shein Miskavin, so he's potter, he doesn't get a punishment. Then I saw another pshat from the Lel of a Rebbe. He says, Rav Shimon is also the man d'Omer that holds, that Shnaim Shasua, if two people do an Aveira together, also Gemara Masech to Shabbos, is potter. He says, the Medrash says, that when a person leaves this world and has to give a din v'cheshbin, so Tazak HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Neshama says, I didn't do anything wrong, it's the Guf. And the Guf says, I didn't do anything wrong, it's the Neshama. And the Medrash gives a mashal. It was like a king who appointed a guard to watch his field. But he was afraid that the guard himself would eat from the field. So who did he take? He took a blind person and a person who couldn't walk. So what did these two people do? The blind person told the person who couldn't walk, I'll put you on my shoulders and you'll direct me. So it's like the Guf and the Shama together. Says Rav Shimon, Yochani lifta min adin. It's Shnaim Shasua. It's not the Guf alone. It's not the Neshama alone. That's why we don't deserve a punishment. Who was Yosim ben Yozio? So Rashi explains, Yosim was a king who became a Metzora. And his son Yosim, when he was a child, assumed the throne. But in respect to his father, he never called himself king as long as his father was alive. Everything he said was in the name of his father. So, and he always used to go to his father to get his father's haskama, approbation to what he did, which was a big tircha, something that was a big trouble, but he did it out of Derech Eretz. That's why he was included in this group of people who could save the world. But the Mefarshim point out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't accept it. I've seen people of a high madrega, they're very few people. If there are 1,000 such people in the world, me and my son are in that group. If there are 100 people in the world in that group, I, my son are from them. Me and my son are in that group. So Mefarshim asks, how did he speak about himself that way? Risib ne'aliyah u'matim heim. So there's a beautiful vort from Rav Chaim Briska. Rav Chaim Briska says, it's very easy for a person to say, you know, the whole world does it, so I'm going to do the same way as the rest of the world. Risib ne'aliyah, I've seen very few people in the world who are able to go against the stream. U'matim heim. There are very few people that are strong enough to say, we're going to do what's right, even though everybody else does it differently. Me and my son, said Rav Shimon ben Yochai, had this strength to do this. Another pshat I saw, Risa b'nei Eliyah, I've seen great people. How do people become great? Umu'atenhein, if they mamat themselves, if they act humbly, if they act modestly, b'nei Eliyah, they become great people. Another pshat I saw from the Baal HaTanya, Risa b'nei Eliyah, are people who do everything l'shem Shemayim. Ask the Gemara, Umi Zutri Kulahai, is there such a small group? V'amar Rava Tamni Serf, Tamni Sari, El Fidora, who have the Kameda Kutcha Baruch Hu. There's two pshatim. Either there are 18,000 people, or the 18,000 rows of people who are near HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shnemas Soviv Shmoina Eser, Elif, around HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are 18,000. So why are you saying there are only so few? Says the Gemara, Loi Kasha. Hard Mestakel Beklari Meira. There are few that could see HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly. Hard Loi Mestakel Beklari Meira that need, they don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly. It's like through a screen. Ask the Gemara, or the Mestakel Beklari Meira Mizutra Kulahai. Is there such a small group that see HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly? The world doesn't have less than 36 tzaddikim that greet HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day. It's like the Mashal explained. The Pasuk should have said, Ashrei kol choy chav. What does it say? Ashrei kol choy choy loy. Loy b'gematria t'losim shitim hava. There are 36 people in this great group. And it says, the Gemara loy kasha. There are very few people that go in without permission. Shimon Yochai said that he and his son are in the group that could go into the Mokum HaShechina without permission. With permission, there is a large group. And Mefarshim explained, like the Gemara says, he was like an Evid, like a servant of the king, who has permission to go into the king whenever he wants. Another pshat that I saw from Rabbeinu Chananel, Hoda Ayli Bebar, to be on a great madrega, and also be zoiche that your son should be on that madrega, is very rare. Hada Ayli Bebar, somebody goes in with their children, he had a son, that's very uncommon. Hada Ayli Beloy Bar, that's more common. There's a very interesting mashah here. The mashah says that according to the Gemara here, there are many people that see HaKadosh Baruch Hu clear Arya Meira, that see clear. Rashi says in Chumash that only Moshe saw Baska Klar Yami'ira. Here we see that it isn't limited to Moshe Rabbeinu. Says the Mashah, Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi. Nevi'im, only Moshe Rabbeinu saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu Baska Klar Yami'ira. But Chochem, a Talmud Chochem, Adif Mi Navi, is even greater than a Navi. And Talmud Chochem, there are many more that could see HaKadosh Baruch Hu Baska Klar Yami'ira. Continues the Gemara, B'Shas P'Teros Menayimrim, when they left, what did they say? So the Gemara gave two examples. One was Yoifel Chomes Beach. Rabbi Elazar says, L'ka u'l'chomes Beach, L'ka u'l'chomes Beach. Ask the Gemara, according to the second version, V'okom Meshatev Shem Shemayim V'dov Acher, he's speaking about a Kosh Baruch Hu and about the Zbeach at the same time. V'tanya kol Meshatev Shem Shemayim V'dov Acher, Nekem and Oilem, Shenemar, Bilti L'Hashem, Levadoi, you're only supposed to speak about a Kodesh Baruch Hu, not equate anything else with a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Says the Gemara Hachakamalei, this is what it means to say. L'ka anachnu moidim, we acknowledge that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is the God. L'ka anachnu mishapchim, and we praise the Mizbeach, that it helps us get closer to God. L'ka anachnu moidim, l'ka anachnu mekalsim, we praise you the Mizbeach. There's a very interesting machloikis harishoinim. Why is it osur timi mishatif Shem Shemayim v'dover Acher? So it's Machloikis, Rabbeinu Tam, and the Rambam. Rabbeinu Tam says, because the Pasuk says, U'bishmoye tishaveya. You're only allowed to swear and a Kodesh Baruch Hu's name, nobody else. The Rambam says, because the Pasuk says, Lo yelcha alahim achem alponai, including somebody else with a Kodesh Baruch Hu, is avoid the Zorah. Which, so the Noida Behuda explains, the sequels of Rabbeinu Tam, what would be the Nafkamina? A goy, is he allowed to believe in God and something else? If the reason is because of b'shmoy tishaveya, so it's not a din in avodah zarah, so that din doesn't apply to a goy. So if a goy believes in God and he also believes in something else, he's not doing anything wrong. If on the other hand it's because of lo yelchal chem acherim aponai, that's avodah zarah that applies to a goy also. What's the nafkamina? Says the Noida Behuda, because the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin says that you're not allowed to become a partner with a non-Jew. Because you become a partner with a non-Jew, if you'll have a disagreement, and he'll swear in the name of Avodah Zarah, and you're causing him to do an Avera, because he's not allowed to believe in Avodah Zarah. But let's say it's a guy that believes in God and something else at the same time. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, there's nothing wrong. According to Rambam, there is something wrong. Kamasei b'chol. So we learned that Shabbos and Chol were the same. And Rabbi Yochanan Breuker says that brought lula branches. Amar Rav Huna, my time, Rabbi Yochanan Breuker, that they brought lula branches. The ksiv kapois loshim rabim, shnayim, achas lelulov, vachas lemizbeach. One for the mizbeach, one for the lulav. Rabban Amri kapas ksiv. It says kapas loshim yochid, so we only brought lula branches once. Like the Rishonim explain, what's the machloikis? The machloikis is based, do we go yesh aim lemikra or yesh aim lemesiris? Do we go according to the pronunciation or we go according to the spelling? Reb Levi Amri katamar. There's a different reason why we brought lula branches. Ma tamar ze ein lo ela lev echad. So there's two pshatim in this. One pshat is that the sap of a palm tree is only in the trunk. It doesn't go into the branches. Another pshat is that a palm tree does not have a peel around the trunk like other trees. Av Yisrael, ein lam ela lev echad lavim shebishmayim. That's why we brought lula branches. Says Taisvus, the machloikis in our Gemara between Rav Huna and Rav Levi is relevant l'alocha l'maisa. According to Rav Huna, that the reason for Rabbi Yochanan Mabroika that we brought lula branches, because the Torah teaches us to bring two lula branches, so therefore we would bring it every day of Sukkot, and we don't bring our rava branches. According to Levi, that it's only a durush, it's a homiletical explanation, so therefore we certainly still have to bring, even Rabbi Yochanan Mabroika will agree that we have to bring our ravas. And it's only on Hashanah Rabbah we want to point out that Yisrael have Lev Echad Levim Shebishmayim. Only on Hashanah Rabbah would Rabbi Yochanan Breuker tell us to bring lula branches. On the rest of Sukkot, he would agree that we only bring arava branches.